Do you, Ann, would you do me a favor? Would you put up that first verse, your God alone from before time began? That particular verse. Because I sometimes think that what can happen is we can sing a song, we can worship, and we can do praise. But sometimes I'm not, at least for me, maybe you don't ever do this. But there are sometimes that I can sing a song, there it is, and I can sing words, and really because of the emotion and because of the worship and the wonderful job that Rick and the praise team do in leading. Yeah, it's okay to clap for that. It's okay to clap for praise and worship. Come on. That's what you're going to be doing in heaven. You're not going to be listening to preaching in heaven. All the preachers are out of a job. But the praise and worship, I'm sorry, Rick, you're still going to have to work. But we can sing a song and we can miss some of what we're testifying to. Testifying meaning that we are making a declaration of something that we believe in, someone we believe in, some fact that we believe in. So that particular verse says this: you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. Okay, let's read it again. You are God alone. Here's a key phrase. From before time began, you were on your throne. From before time began, you are God alone. If that is true, and it is true, because his word says it is true, then there's some things that we need to remember about this God who was there before time began. And in the last couple of weeks, I've talked about when God says wait, when God says go. And both of those are an acknowledgement that he is who we are to listen to. And one of the ways that we can listen to him is through his what? His word. Can he still speak audibly? Oh, yeah. Can he still speak? In fact, for me, I'll have to say this. The loudest God ever is in my life is when I am at the coast fishing. Now, why? Because everywhere I look, everything that I see, every mangrove grove, every redfish, every trout, every seagull, every crane, it reminds me that what I am looking at is I am looking at God's creation. So don't think for one second the only place you're going to see God is in here, because no, everywhere you look, in fact, you know what you can do, and some are better looking than others, you can look at each other and see God. Because you see, he always has been, always will be. And one thing he always does is he what? My kids crossing kids are in here today. They know this. He always tells the truth. God never lies. God's word is truth. So today it's about when God says yes. Everybody loves to get a yes. When God says yes, what? Do what he says, kids. Remember that. So what does that mean? That means we need to be listening for what? Listening for the yes. You see, sometimes we have to remember that we have to anchor our belief in something, someone. We declare just then that our belief is in God. You are God alone. That is a declaration. That is a statement that you are making, that you are God alone. That doesn't make God. It just means you're acknowledging God. Huge difference. God doesn't need your acknowledgement. But we do need to acknowledge God. So I'm going to show you a video. And I'm going to just be willing to go way out on a limb here and say some of you are going to be highly, let's see, is the word offended? Probably, that's one word you're going to be able to use. But some of you are going to go, And then some of you are going to go, yes, it is. And I'm going to be speaking to all three groups about when God says yes right after this video. Izzy, let's run it.
I got a question for you, Christian. Do you really believe God meant what he said in the Bible? First off, we need to remember that the Bible is actually God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is breathed out by God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 states that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God. So these verses, among others, claim that the Bible is God's word. But is God's word true? Well, ponder these propositions properly presented in paraphrase perfection. Psalm 119:160, John 17:17, Proverbs 35, Ephesians 1:13, Colossians 1:5, and Numbers 23:19, just to name a few. These declare God's word to be true, the word of truth, the sum of truth, the power of truth, and that he cannot lie. Because of that, the Apostle Paul declares, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. So, according to the Bible, the Christian's ultimate standard, God can't lie, the Bible is God's word, and God's word is truth and ought not to be tampered with. Now, let's peek at some of the Ten Commandments at Exodus 20 to see if he really meant what he said there, okay? Don't murder. Pretty clear. Probably meant that one. What about don't lie? Pretty ironic if he lied about a commandment that forbids lying. Then there's don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't worship other gods, honor mom and dad. Is there really any confusion about these? Sound like poetry to you? These are the Ten Commandments, people, written directly by God. They aren't the ten songs, illustrations, or ten metaphors, okay? And they're obviously written at face value with clear meaning and purpose. Selah. But what about other scripture that God didn't directly write on special tablets? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, which part do you think that God didn't really mean? Which part should we discard because somebody says otherwise? Which part is just metaphysical, metaphorical, just a spiritual lesson? I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of it because it's all true historical stuff. So what's my point? What's the big deal? Well, it's this. The same non-poetic, clear, historical, straightforward style used to write the Ten Commandments, the Gospels, Paul's letters, and most of the other scripture is also used in Genesis 1 through 11. What's the point? I'll tell you. Some Christians think that section of scripture doesn't mean what it says. I guess because some guys in lab coats told them the earth formed over billions of years and what really happened is completely different from what the Bible teaches. Man's fallible understanding trumps God's infallible word all of a sudden. So I guess that God didn't mean what he said when he had Moses write, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. 6 days. Now that's the part God must not have meant. Well, just in case you think that, let's shimmy slide over to the very Ten Commandments, which we already established as something God really meant, and take a gander. Exodus 20:11. Right dab in the middle of the fourth commandment, it reads, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. There it is again. 6 days. So now what? You're going to believe that God only meant 9.5 of the Ten Commandments? Careful, because Jesus said if you believed Moses, you'd believe me. So if you don't believe God meant what he said in the first few chapters of Genesis, why believe the Ten Commandments or the words of Jesus, the Gospels, or the words of Paul? And if you only believe some of it, how do you know what to pick and choose? Tamper, tamper, people. Now, let's get to the bread and butter here, okay? God could have made heaven and earth over billions of years, or in 6 seconds, or in 16 hours, or he could have done it by throwing happy dust around, or by pulling it out of a giant hat. But since he cannot lie and his word is truth, he couldn't have done it any other way than the way he said he did it. Make sense? So this idea that God didn't mean what he said, especially when it comes to how and when he created everything, has been debunked. Adios.
All right. You know, there are debates that go on at my house between me and God. And he will allow those debates about when I'll find these videos and I'll go, okay, do I really, I mean, God, you know, do you really, this is God saying, yeah, God, do you really, this, yes. So then what I begin to do is I look for another 1,000 videos to find one to rather than to use the one I just used because of this. Everyone in this room can be pushed back by the enemy because we can say we don't want to get in people. Wait a minute. Hold on. What did we all just read as a song? You are God alone, and before time began, you are on your throne. Here's what that video said very rapidly, and I can guarantee you this. The kids got every word of it. The adults maybe got half of it because they just listen so much faster. But everything that we talk about, Pastor Walker, everyone that's in this pulpit, when they stand up, they are not taking the Word of God and saying, okay, this we'll use, this we won't use. This we'll use, this we won't use. No, it's the whole book and nothing but the book, so says God. Amen? Now, here's what's interesting about that, is that belief has to come in through faith and through trust in what God says. His word is truth. But in order to be able to do what he says to do, to be able to realize that his yes means yes to us, and yes means we are to do something, to be obedient, there is a definition of obedience to this yes we can get from God, and it says this: true hearing or obedience involves the physical hearing that inspires the hearer and a belief or trust that in turn motivates the hearer to act in accordance with the speaker's desire. That's a definition out of Erdman's Bible Dictionary. Now, to be able to do that, hey kids, what do we talk about a lot of times? That sometimes when we do something wrong, what happens? We get disciplined. Our mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, teacher, somebody, whoever's taking care of us, will have to discipline us. Now, here's the thing. That discipline, that word discipline, doesn't mean this. That we just walk around like puppets on a string and God's just kind of moving us wherever he wants to. No. You have choices to make. He has given you a free will to be able to do things that, quite frankly, you want to do. Because when it's all said and done, we're going to believe what we believe. We're going to trust who we want to trust. And you know what? In the end, we're going to do what we want to do. Maybe not what we like to do, but what we want to do. I'll give you an example. I got called for jury duty a couple of weeks ago. And for those of you that say, expect me to say something terrible about jury duty, I happen to like jury duty. It doesn't bother me. I'm going to tell you why. Before I became on this staff 30 years ago and a minister and all this other kind of stuff, every time I would get called for jury duty, I would get selected. Because I would put down I was an internal controller, internal auditor, director of communications, whatnot. Business stuff, management stuff, got picked every time. Got picked for murder trials, got picked for robberies, got picked for assaults, got picked for everything. Always was selected. But the moment God was brought into the equation of what I do, guess what? We don't want him. We don't want him. Used to be you could walk in a courthouse and behind a lot of judges and whatnot, you would see picture of the Ten Commandments. You know what? Everybody's doing everything they can now to hide those. You know why I think they want to hide them? I don't think it's because they object to religion. I think they're just scared of the truth. I think they're chickens. I think they're scared of the truth that is in the Ten Commandments, which came out of what? Somebody's imagination? No. Came out of God's Word. To hear, to trust, and surrender to God and obey His Word. What have we talked about over and over again? We always need to be what? We need to be in prayer. And then what? Just listen. Just listen. Deuteronomy 11:26 sums it up like this. Obey and you will be blessed. Disobey and you will be cursed. In other words, kids, obey and that's a good thing because that's what God wants you to do. That's what your mom and dad and brother and sister and the ones that love you want you to do. They want you to obey because it's for your own good. Disobey and you get to go to timeout. Now, for you who don't know what timeout is, timeout's where they go that they don't want to go. But they go there. Y'all know what that is, don't you, kids? The other thing is this. We ask God, we go to His Word, we pray, we ask Him, He gives us a yes, and this is what people tend to do. People being me, is I will get the yes, and then once I've thought about what I asked and what he said yes to, I go, one more thing. I know you said yes to what I asked, but on further consideration, could I do it this way. Is that what he said do? No. What did he say yes to? What I asked him for. So be careful, kids, what you ask God for. And when he tells you, and for those of you that don't believe he can talk to God, read the word. I dare you. Jesus loved the children. And the children sometimes can hear God a lot clearer than adults. Because they don't have the filter, garbage, all the world stuff that's blocking the truth. So while you've got your children here and while they're down there with Pastor Keith and Kids Church, you need to know this. What's being poured into their spirit is the word of truth and God's word. And it can happen when you don't even know it's happening. We had one of our granddaughters with us this week, and we were going to eat at Caffarelli's, and we were talking about stuff, and all of a sudden she started talking about these kids that had a fire on top of their heads, but it didn't burn them. Holy Spirit. This little girl doesn't go to church, but she goes to a place that's at a church, and guess what that church does? Talks about Jesus, talks about God, talks about the truth of God's love for her. Now, here's the thing. When he said yes, what? Jesus calls us to obedience. John 14:15 says this in the Message. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. Now, kids, that can mean the same thing with your parents. One of the things that you can do is to do what your parents have told you to do. And you know what? It just shows them how much you love them and respect them. And the Bible talks about that's important for us to do. Obedience is an act of worship. I don't know that if you were listing, give us the examples of worship, that would be one of the ones that would be listed. But salvation, let's read this. Salvation is a free gift of God, and we can do nothing to merit it, meaning we don't earn it. And we can't, I'm going to say this, you cannot pay for salvation. You can't buy salvation. You can't earn salvation. And the other thing is, quite frankly, you don't deserve it. But it's a gift. And it's grace. Which means you've got nothing to do with it except accept the gift with a smile and a grateful heart. True Christian obedience flows from a heart of gratitude for the grace we have received from the Lord. We've talked about that. Romans 12:1 says it this way. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That worship we've been doing this morning is a presenting to him out of obedience, the sacrifice phrase. God rewards obedience. Kids, y'all get that. You do something good, you do something, you might get a treat. Now, my dogs are different. We have two labs, one Missy, one Lady, one 7, one 1.5 years. I'm trying to teach them about treats, and we have these cookies, and if they go outside and do what they're supposed to do, when they come back in and sit down, they get a treat. The only problem is, once they stand up, they deserve another treat in their opinion because they stood up. Then they sit down again. Then they stand up and they sit down. They keep looking for more treats. But that's not the way it works. God rewards obedience. The Bible speaks of God blessing obedience repeatedly. Okay, let's go back to Genesis. Remember this Bible we talked about? Remember we said we believe it? God, before time began? You can't pick and choose out of Scripture, folks. Okay, I'm going to say it. You cannot pick what you want to believe out of the Word of God. And preachers are doing that all over this country. And they're wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If the only way God's going to show you that he loves you, if the only measure that you've got that God in heaven, who before time began was on his throne, who sent his son to die for you, if you're hearing somebody tell you the only way you're going to know that God loves you is you're going to have a lot of stuff, they are bold-faced liars. I said it. It'll be on TV. I don't care. That is not what God said. Listen, if money makes you so stinking happy, I want you to Google suicides, athletes, movie stars. Go Google it. And you look at this. You're going to find every one of them died a millionaire, didn't take a dime with them, and they died with a gigantic hole in them that money could not fill. So if you think because you don't have a ton of money in a bank, God doesn't love you, let me tell you something. He loved you enough to send a son to die on a cross for your sin so you can have eternal life. Who else is giving up a son for your life? Do not let television tell you what love looks like. They're lying to you. You read what the Word says true love is. There is no other definition. I don't give a flip what Congress says. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what anybody else says. My Bible says what it means. One woman, one man, that's it. If you don't like it, take it up with God. I ain't mad. I'm not mad. But I'm so tired of this political correctness garbage. Kids, I'm not mad. You hear me? I'm excited, but I'm not. I am so tired of our political correctness. Got to be so right. But heaven forbid we follow the spiritual direction, the Ten Commandments, which are in the Word of God. Heaven forbid we be spiritually correct. Let's forget the dadgum political correctness and say, God, I choose to be spiritually correct according to God's Word, and I compromise to no one, no government, no hierarchy. Forget the rest of the message. All right. Calm down. Blood pressure medicine is kicking in. That's a good thing. Genesis 22:18 says this. All nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you obeyed me. Church, there's people behind us, their kids. We're asking for God to bless them. But they're our descendants. They're the ones that were up here after we get a vacation Bible school. Be found faithful. Does that mean you're not going to make mistakes? For Pete's sake, he knows you're going to make mistakes. That's why he gives you grace. That's why there's mercy. That's why you can repent and say, Father in heaven, I'm sorry I failed you. And God says you are forgiven. And at that instant, the blood of Jesus wipes it clean. It takes no work. It takes no effort. It takes no begging. You just request it of God. You access what's freely given, and it is done. Thus saith the Lord. Luke 11:28 says, but he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. Do you understand this hearing of God does not just mean an audible voice? Yes, it can mean an audible voice. He can do whatever he wants to do. Why? Because he's God alone. He was on his throne before time began. Let me tell you something. You think these scientists are so smart? Ask them to do one thing. Put a number on infinity. They can't. You see, here's the thing. Our brains are finite. They are binary. Ones, zeros. They have a limit to what they can comprehend. People spend a whole lot of money trying to buy into the fact that scientists or some guy's going to tell them, I have figured out how creation happened and then an infinite universe with a finite mind. Give it up, Jack. Just accept Jesus as Savior and that God is King of Kings. There's nothing wrong with science. I'm not saying that. But don't let science define God. God is what? God alone. And before time began, he was on his throne. Obedience to God demonstrates our love. 1 John 5:2 says this, The reality test on whether or not we love God's children is this. Do we love God? Do we keep His commands? That's in the New Testament, kids. That's in the New Testament, okay? Ten commandments are where? They're in the Old Testament. But guess what? Both are true. Verse 3 says, the proof that we love God comes when we keep His commandments and they're not at all troublesome. In other words, we're not fretting ourselves to death on how we're going to keep all these rules. You can't. That's why Jesus came. You break one rule, just like Adam and Eve, they messed up one time. One guy messed it up. One supernatural, in the flesh, human being by the name of Jesus the Christ of Nazareth made it right again. And He's available for you. No matter what sin you've done, there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. First John 2:6 says this, anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. In other words, this, folks, bless your hearts. When you go out there today and at the restaurant and the waitress doesn't bring the right stuff, show them a little bit of grace that you've got. Show them a little bit of mercy. Now, I know that's not easy to do on Luke 4:10 when you're cut off, but even there, I pray that you would have the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive that woman or man that cut you off. But we need to be living out there what we're preaching and singing in here. You see, because if it doesn't show up out there, what good's it going to do? Obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22, this is in the Old Testament, kids. Then Samuel said, okay, fellas, listen to this. Do you think all God wants is sacrifices, empty rituals just for show? He wants you to listen to Him. Plain listening is the thing, not staging a lavish religious production. I'm coming back to that if I get time. Verse 23 says this, not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around with the occult. Back in those days, that was those little G's, those little gods that we talked about in that song. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. And I say this with respect. Once you're dead, you're officially dead. And where you made your decision in life for Jesus or not Jesus determines where you will be. And once that occurrence happens, which will happen, that will be your eternal place of life, heaven or hell. No other options. And it's only Jesus that gets you to heaven. Disobedience leads to sin and death. There's another consequence. Obedience, good things. Disobedience, bad things. The disobedience of Adam, talked about that a minute ago, brought sin and death into the world. Christ's perfect obedience, meaning He didn't make any mistake, kids. Can you believe that? He never did anything wrong, never sinned. Restores our fellowship with God for everyone who believes in Him. Romans 5:19 in the Bible says this. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. That would be us. One man said yes to God and put many in the right. And by accepting Him, Jesus, that's how your eternity changes. 1 Corinthians 15:22, everybody dies in Adam, everybody comes alive in Christ. Through obedience, doing what God says in His Word, we experience the blessings of the holy living. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. Therefore, only He could walk in sinless obedience. No one else could do that. But as we allow the Holy Spirit, and that's what I've been waiting to say, everything about this obedience, everything about this walk with God, it's not like CrossFit training. I watched a CrossFit deal that they were doing yesterday. They're having a big contest. And I'm going to tell you something. Those guys are obedient. They work out. Good grief, the stuff they do, and ladies. It's absolutely amazing. But listen, here's the thing about it. You can't work your way into any of this. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that one who, when Jesus ascended to the Father in heaven in front of witnesses, he said, I'm leaving, but there will be one sent. And he will be the paraclete, a helper. So when you say, I can't do it, truest thing you've ever said in your life, you can't do it. God knows you can't. Here's what he does. He sends us the Holy Spirit. That power from above. Psalms 119, verse 1 says this. I've asked God a question. He said yes. And now I'm going to course. You are blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. 119:5 says it this way. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping the course you set. New Testament, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says it this way. With promises like this to pull us along, dear friends, and this is hard, let us make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Do you know what will get you in more trouble trying to walk and follow what God has told you to do? The access point for most folks that can cause the most is our eyes. What are we reading? The second thing is what we're saying. What's coming out of our mouth? I hate to say it, but we can look at stuff on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, blogs, whatever. And they're Christians. And they're spending more time talking about hate than love. You see, here's the thing. Only the power of the Holy Spirit acting in an individual's life is going to change them. And that's going to happen from the inside out. And you do not have that ability to do on your own. But you do have one thing you can do. What's that? Come on, folks. Pray. You can pray. Because God makes the changes, not you. Your arguments aren't going to truly convict. They may make you feel bad, and you may feel better for saying it. But the truth of the matter is this. Only God, by his Spirit, can generate that life that bubbles up, that they don't know where it's coming from. But it's coming from the Spirit. And then out of their mouths comes the confession. Yes, Jesus, I accept you. I am a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness, and I receive you into my body as my Savior and Lord. That comes by the Spirit of the living God, the one and only God. 2 Corinthians 7:1 continues this way. Let's make our entire lives fit in holy temples for the worship of God, more passionate, more responsible. Folks, obedience is not learned in a day. It's a lifelong process that we pursue by making it a daily goal. But that daily goal, with all your exercise, spiritual exercise you want to do, still can only come by one and one alone. The power of the Holy Spirit to change a dead life spiritually into a life to live more abundantly in him. So, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? The Word of God? The one who has been on the throne from before time began? We all are going to have to make a choice. And then by the choice, we receive the grace as we choose Jesus. There is nothing out there in the world that will fill the hole that's in you today, ma'am. There's somebody in this room right now. There's a hole. Money can't fill it. Relationships with men aren't going to fill it. Only Jesus. You see, Jesus says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The truth of the matter is, no one else can say that. Sir, you may say it's not worth it all anymore. I'm walking away. I can't do it. Is it possible? All things are possible with God. Who do you serve? Who do you serve? Where's your life? Lord, that's a lot. And that's hard because it can seem like we just do nothing but mess up. It seems like we can't ever get it right. But God, your word is true. Every word of it is true. Would you change? Change me from the inside out. Forgive me for my sin. Thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus washes it. I ask you, Father, that if the folks hear nothing today, they just hear hope. That they hear love. That they know they're not too far gone. Come to Jesus. So come to Jesus. Money, relationships, stuff won't fill that hole. Only Jesus. For it's in your Son's name. Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Jesus, the Son of God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, move among your people. Move among your people. For it's in your Son's name.